Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you come on board. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion that we're going to be having today on a very vital issue. We're talking about saving our national heritage. Saving our national heritage. But before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, the discussion, let me remind you as we face the issues, we do so based on a central biblicist worldview. And that is speaking of the authority of the Word of God. It was Jesus that said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am truth." And then further, he elaborates by saying in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth, ladies and gentlemen, that we should be seeking today. And I recommend the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God as the source book of truth. It's not just a tidbit here or there. From Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation text, it is a book of truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago, not speaking of him as from a Christian perspective, but George Orwell a number of years ago said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place today. If you don't believe that, look at Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and the other socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats in Washington, and you'll understand what we're speaking of when we talk about truth. There's a need to seek truth. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need to do as believers today. And as conservatives, there needs to be a stand on truth. And we're not finding that out of Washington. We don't see that in any of the blue states where we have the socialist, Marxist, Democratic governors and mayors in those states that are bowing and bending to the Marxist agenda of Black Lives Matter. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Black Lives Matter has nothing to do, nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, to do with skin color. It has all to do with a socialist, Marxist, communist agenda to overthrow the United States of America, to tear down and destroy the fundamental foundations of our constitutional republic. That's where we stand. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer all of your questions about power landscape equipment and backup hurricane backup readiness equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? Where can that be found? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find that flagpole, and at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief monologue, we're going to introduce three men that we're going to be having dialogue and discussion with today about what is happening in America and on the local level with our heritage monuments and the destruction thereof. What should we do? How should we respond? It's a sad, frightening thing, ladies and gentlemen. We see what's happening across America, and it's under the guise of Black Lives Matter, BLM. It is a socialist Marxist organization along with Antifa that's wanting to destroy the constitutional warp and woof of the United States of America. Here's an article that's frightening. It says House Democrats vote unanimously against a resolution that condemns violence and rioting. I'm going to read you just a brief blurb of it because it sets the stage for where we're going in this dialogue and discussion today. This article reads in brief, House Democrats on Thursday swiftly defeated a Republican resolution opposing so-called autonomous zones and the push to defund the police, among many other things. The resolution was introduced by Representative Greg Stube, Florida, and it called for the condemning of violence and rioting and looting, and it called for Congress to unequivocally oppose autonomous zones and efforts to defund the police. The measure went on to condemn officers who abuse their position of authority, a seemingly non-controversial idea, of course. Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, spoke on the House floor Thursday saying, "There's a big difference between peaceful protest and rioting. There's a big difference between peaceful protest and violence. There's a big difference between peaceful protest and attacking the police officers. And there's certainly a big difference between peaceful protest and forming CHAZ or CHOP zones or any type of autonomous zones and killing police officers. If we allow this defund the police concept to happen, to take root and to actually take place, it will not only be tough for the police officers, but for communities they serve. What will happen there? It's frightening," he says. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy's office, said Thursday that not a single Democrat voted in favor of the resolution. His House called their refusal downright shameful. And ladies and gentlemen, I second that statement that it's downright shameful. But we see this taking place across America, where America is being confronted with a fundamental change of our Constitution. It's not about the statutes. It's not about the killing of a person by the knee of a police officer on his neck. These are some of the things that we look at and say, well, that ignited it. But ladies and gentlemen, whether it had been George Floyd or anyone else, there would have been some ignition point that they would be utilizing to spread this across America. And the fundamental goal is to overthrow the Constitutional Republic. Black Lives Matter anarchists are in the streets burning buildings, looting, rioting, vandalizing, murdering our police officers. At the very first, these Marxist anarchists demanded that we defund the police departments. Once our socialist Marxist BLM Democratic mayors and governors submitted to some of these demands, these Marxists, the BLM anarchists, started then to increase their demands. Now they're demanding far more than they started off with. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that kind of sets the stage of what's being sought and the end result of where this is going if we do not stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as conservatives in America today. Listen, UN chief calls for the single body of global governance. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said on Thursday that the world is in need of a supreme level of multilateral global governance that could override problematic national issues. This came as he complained that the existing UN entities, such as the Security Council, have teeth but show little appetite to bite. We need a network of multilateralism, bringing together the UN system, regional organizations, international financial institutions, and all others. And we need an inclusive multilateralism drawing on the indispensable contributions of civil society, business, cities, regions, and in particular, with a greater weight on the voice of the youth. Guterres said at a virtual press conference on Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the ultimate where they're pushing for a one world government, a global governance system. And part of that is the anarchist socialist Democrats that are involved in and holding the hands of the anarchists called Antifa, as well as Black Lives Matter. Retired General Alan West on Facebook said this: "Since we're all about cancel culture and targeting white supremacists and racists, are we going to take down all the references to Senator Robert Byrd, KKK, Democrat of West Virginia? And how about defunding Planned Parenthood, founded by the avowed racist and white supremacist Margaret Sanger? Hey, didn't Hillary Clinton receive the Margaret Sanger Award? The hypocrisy is utterly laughable in America today." That is what we're finding ladies and gentlemen. We're watching the warp and woof, that's the fabric of the United States of America, being under attack to overthrow the constitutional republic called the United States of America. These BLM radicals, the anarchists, the insurrectionists, they were first demanding that we just simply defund the police department. Our national heritage, national historical monuments today are being demanded to be removed, and they are already in the process of doing so by the thugs in the street, as well as some of the socialist Marxist mayors and democratic leaders called governors in some of these states today, that simply closing the eye in a wink and a nod, allowing these monuments to be desecrated, destroyed, and removed. They're also now wanting to ban the national anthem. They want to ban the United States flag. These Marxist thugs are now over our cities, as in Seattle, and they are wanting to spread to other cities by having this, what you would call, autonomous zone that they're setting up. In fact, here's an article that says, Mayor calls for the investigation after Black Lives Matter outrage shuts down a popular restaurant. Listen to how far this has gone, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a restaurant that Black Lives Matter is trying to force to close in Omaha, Nebraska. In fact, the owners, after 44 years, shut the door permanently, this article says. It's the Leavenworth Cafe, located at the intersection of South 25th Street and Leavenworth Street in the city. It had been the staple in the neighborhood for 44 years, but is now permanently closed. What caused it to close, ladies and gentlemen? Because they had on their breakfast menu an item on that menu called the Confederate General Robert E. Lee Breakfast. Can you imagine that? That's how far it's gone. That's how deep it is drilled into the United States of America culture across our nation. Roughly 75 activists, enraged over the menu item, blocked the traffic, banged on the windows of the restaurant for two days until the restaurant totally closed. Black Lives Matter activists also reported were incensed over a Facebook post where the owner's son called for lethal force to be used by police against the rioters in the city. What a novel idea, ladies and gentlemen. Black Lives Matter protester Michael, whoever he was, met with the Leavenworth Cafe owner and demanded a public apology for his son's son and a change in the menu. They were demanding that the owner of the restaurant's son apologize for saying to use lethal force against these terrorists, and also to apologize and remove the menu item called the Robert E. Lee Breakfast, of all things. In fact, I find it antithetical to anything that's called constitutional liberties and freedom in the United States of America for this to even be tolerated, but it seems as though we're tolerating it in our nation today. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear. If the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? It's very, very clear in our scripture today, ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place, and it is a demonic force that is under the guise of Black Lives Matter, but it is simply an anarchist approach, Marxist approach to destroy our constitutional republic. Nancy Pelosi wants to remove 11 statues in the Capitol Rotunda to appease the Marxists. In fact, to try to appease the Marxist socialist movement to destroy America, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and about 10 or 12 the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats in Washington bowed in knee, taking a knee in subjection and submission to Black Lives Matter. Ladies and gentlemen, if we see that from the top, what can we expect from the local level but the same thing? And we are saddened to say that that is happening in Jacksonville, in St. Augustine, and yes, across our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, they're now demanding that the John Wayne statue in an airport in Texas be removed. The Black Lives Matter Marxists have raised hundreds of millions, listen, not millions, but hundreds of millions of dollars from major organizations like Starbucks, Walmart's, and all of the other major corporate entities across the nation that are global entities. They have poured out hundreds of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter Foundation, which is the arm that is being used to buy politicians across the board. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, what is not talked about by most of those that discuss this on the Socialist Marxist Communist Network news broadcast happens to be the fact that these three founders of Black Lives Matter are proud Marxists. In fact, they've recently bragged about the fact that we're proud, well-trained Marxists, and our desire and aim right now is to overthrow President Donald J. Trump and to prevent him from being reelected. So we're seeing the escalation of the Black Lives Matter anarchist Marxist program for the simple reason that they're an arm of the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party to destroy the United States of America and to force it into a global governance program that would put the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats in charge forever. Ladies and gentlemen, now they're also demanding that any statues of Jesus in stained glass windows or in statues on the landscape of churches, they're now demanding that they be removed or they're going to tear them down. Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnessing the Marxist BLM as they're moving across America with the goal of destroying the foundation and the fundamental history of our nation. The destruction of our historic monuments not only is illegal, it's ungodly, unholy, and unbiblical. Ladies and gentlemen, you might ask the question, where did our founding fathers get the idea of having monuments that are set up for the very purpose of pointing us out what has taken place in history? It comes directly from Joshua, the fourth chapter in the Bible, in the Word of God, where in that text, after the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, where God had held back the water and they crossed on dry land, God told Joshua to appoint one man from each of the 12 tribes. That would be 12 men to get a stone out of the dry bottom of the river and to place it as a monument in their first encampment, which happened to be Gilgal, according to the Word of God. And the purpose for that being, the Bible says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That they would be able to give them an answer as to the purpose of that. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an historical fact that God had set it up, that we have monuments that would be able to point back to history, that for future generations, our sons and our daughters and sons and their daughters and sons in the future might know what had taken place in the United States of America and its history. So when the future generations look at these monuments and ask, what is this for? What is Robert E.? Who is Robert E. Lee? Who is Andrew Jackson? What took place in their lives? Why are there statues there that we'd be able to give an answer? We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the whitewashing of our history in our textbooks through the local level and the state level and the national level in our public funded colleges and universities, where you've got socialist Marxist professors that are destroying the brains and putting mush in the heads of our millennial generations today, that they're out on the streets believing that somehow, some way, that's the right thing to do because America is bad, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have as our special guest on Let's Face the Issues. We have three men today that are representing Save Our Southern Heritage that's operating right here in our communities here in the state of Florida. We have today with us on this broadcast Kenneth Mora. He has met with the state attorney and discussed what's happening. We'll talk with him about that. Lance Thate, which is also with Save Our Southern Heritage. Derby Ula, I think I'm pronouncing Derby's name right, Ula. Derby has fought communism for some 60 years coming out of Cuba. He can tell us something about what we're seeing today and how it relates to the Communist Party and the Communist Movement. Gentlemen, thank you so much for what you're doing on the local level to bring about awareness of what's happening in our communities and also on a national level. But let me say, first of all, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Lance. Thank you, Derby, for being with us. Gentlemen, it's our delight to have you on Let's Face the Issues today. Ken, let's start with you, if you don't mind. We'll pick on you first, if you will. As the head of the Save Our Lives, Save Our Southern Heritage organization here in this area, what are you seeing on the local level? Are our politicians and our political leaders, do you feel they are bowing to the Marxist agenda?
My concern was this. Basically, I think Mayor Curry was a coward. You can't take down the statues in the middle of the night and expect to have any respect from those individuals that have an opportunity to basically challenge that authority. I've been involved now probably for the last 2 to 3 years. I've actually lived in Clay County, but I've been involved with the Jacksonville City Council meetings for a number of years because I believe in this country. I believe in the freedoms we offer to individuals, and I also believe in the right of freedom of expression. What I'm seeing right now is not freedom of expression. What basically I'm saying is, like you're talking about, Dr. Youngblood, total anarchy. We cannot survive as a nation with that. We have to stand and take a stand completely. And basically the way we do that is we work within the system to correct any problems in the system, but you can't just burn the system down and expect to have it resolve the problems from there.
Ken, let me ask you a question. You touched on Mayor Curry. Mayor Curry, as most of our listeners are aware, and some of them may not be, what he had done. But in the shroud of night, he had the cranes and the crews come in and to remove one of the major landmark Southern Heritage statues there in Hemming Plaza. And I'm wondering if our listeners understand, and Ken, how do you respond? Did he have the authority to do so? There was no city council meeting. There was no city council vote. There was not a vote by the citizens. It was simply a unilateral decision by himself that made that determination and then spoke to the Black Lives Matter anarchists as they met and even marched with them in our city. What is the answer to that? Do you feel that he trespassed the laws of the land or anything of that nature, or should he have that authority to just make a decision to do it and carry it out?
From my personal perspective, I think Mayor Kirby overstepped his bounds completely. And in other situations like that, for example, in the state of Alabama, a statue was taken down in Birmingham without authorization. The state actually sued the city of Birmingham for restoration of that statue. I think basically Jacksonville should do the same thing. I've had some conversation, again, with Melissa Nelson to a little extent of that, but I think basically we have to go through and find some prominent citizen here in Jacksonville to actually issue a request for the state to be involved. We can't let things like this happen.
I'm in full agreement with what you're saying. I believe there should be some repercussions and should be we the people that stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, or this is going to proliferate in not only across America but in our communities right here in the surrounding counties. Ken, if you'll hold just for a moment, sure. I believe Derby is with us. Derby, you're familiar with communism for about 60 years that you have stood against it. Coming out of Cuba, does this resemble anything that you've experienced, you've seen, or that you know of in relationship to what is the cause and effect and what we see taking place in America today with our statues and our Southern heritage and our national heritage, for that matter?
Yes, of course. But first, we need to acknowledge that we are at war. We are at war right here in the USA against communism. And Black Lives Matter and Antifa are communist organized and funded. They are trying to overthrow our government, which is Trump, and to destroy our economy and erase our history. Now, we cannot treat the enemy, the communists, as regular criminals. They should be captured and put into prisoner of war camps in a black site in the middle of nowhere. They need to be imprisoned until the end of the war, until Trump is out of office, and be there. And while there, they should be re-educated, listening to Trump speeches, Rush Limbaugh talk radio, American history, and Christianity. They should work 16 hours a day to pay back for the public and private property that they destroyed until it's paid in full. And this should apply to the mayors and governors as well.
I'm in full agreement with that. It's a novel idea. By the way, for all three of you gentlemen, Ken, Derby, and for Lance listening, there is a statute that's been on the books, a federal statute. And my research shows that it was initially put on the books in 1958, updated in 2003, and that federal statute, the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act, made every one of these statues be under the auspices and the protection of the federal government. And I'm wondering, someone, one of you men, give your insight, or each of you speak to that subject, that we have a federal statute already on the books that protects these national heritage historical monuments and statues. Now, I understand that there are some that say that, no, that's just for those statues on federal property. But that's not the way the statute reads. It says on public property, not on federal property, but on public property. Speak to that question and that issue, and what are your thoughts on it, and where do we stand? Do we have a, as the old cliche, is there a leg to stand on based on that statute that's been on the books for all of these years for the preservation and the protection of these historical monuments?
Oh, either Lance, one of you. Lance, do you want to make a comment on that? You might be on mute. I think I sent you an article recently about a counter to that that I saw, and it was done by Snopes. What they basically indicated was it was a white apologist format to promote saving the Confederate statues. I disagree with that concept completely. We have a reason to have statues. They're a reference point to where we were and also the progress we made as a nation and as individuals since that time. To take them down is an attempt to destroy and whitewash history. We cannot survive as a nation if we allow that to happen.
Well, I'm in agreement with that. And to substantiate my position, by the way, Snopes is absolutely incorrect on what they say in relationship to the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act that is on the books. In fact, President Trump, in signing an order protecting these federal monuments and statues from vandalism. And that's a pretty long article, and I'm going to read just a blurb or two of it. But the bottom line is President Trump, in his executive order, cites this statute as one that protects all ALL of these monuments across America. The title of this article says, Donald Trump signs order protecting federal monuments and statues from vandalism. Dateline Washington. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Friday that he said will provide long prison sentences to people who tear down or vandalize statues and other historical monuments. Anyone who vandalizes or destroys the monument, memorial, or statue already can be sentenced to in prison for up to 10 years under federal law. And that's precisely what the statute recites and says. He is referring to that. Further, the article says, Trump's order calls for the violators to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and put state and local law enforcement, put state and local law enforcement on notice that they could lose federal support if they fail to protect such monuments. The order also says the federal government also will ensure personnel are available across the country to protect these memorials and statues and property. These monuments memorialize the history that we all share in America, and they deserve to be defended for our future generations. And he goes on to talk about the statues and their other historical figures, including George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Robert E. Lee, Christopher Columbus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, also have been targeted in cities across the country. Here's the essence. The Veterans Memorial Preservation Act, President Trump speaking, a federal law passed in 1958 and then passed again or updated in 2003, already makes it a crime to destroy or attempt to destroy a plaque, a monument, a statue commemorating the service of anyone who served in the armed forces. The law carries a penalty of up to 10 years, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're going to continue our discussion with these three gentlemen today that represent the Protect or Save Our Southern Heritage Monuments.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.